Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax, and this Monday Hasty Treat, we're going to be talking about updating applications or web apps that have been running for any bit of time. This is definitely a concern that many people are having as we move more and more into the world of web applications that have persistent data and all sorts of neat things that you might expect a modern web app to have. Now, this episode is sponsored by a service that you're going to have if you have any of these types of applications. And I'm talking about LogRocket at logrocket.com/syntax. What is LogRocket? Well, LogRocket is the service that allows you to see your bugs happen as they happen. As in, a user goes on your site to click a thing and the thing breaks. And then you might be left to try to figure it out or piece together what happened through error logs, which is, as we know, not that much fun. What LogRocket does is it gives you a scrubbable video replay of the user actually clicking the thing along with the network tab, the console, or any of those things that you're typically used to when solving the bugs in your local environment. It's very, very cool and something that you're going to need to see to believe. So head on over to logrocket.com/syntax and get 14 days for free. I got to introduce my co-host.
Who am I?
As always, well, my name is Scott Tolinsky. Okay, let's just get that out of the way first. Now, with me, as always, is the Wes Boss.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Wes.
All right. So this is something that just popped up the other day for me. I don't have anything like this in place. And I'll tell you like what happened to make me start talking about this is I rolled out a new version of my course player and it fixed some bugs. Like I was in my Sentry and I had a couple bugs in there. I fixed them all and marked them as resolved. And then I started getting emails about the same bugs coming back. And I was like, that's weird. I just fixed these. And I was like, oh, it's because people are still on the old version of the app because like they're sitting there, they're watching their course. They're not going to refresh the page. They'll pause it, come back to it in 3 days and keep going. So they're running the code. And luckily it wasn't like a breaking error. It was just a little warning that kept popping up. And I was like, I guess I got to wait for all these people to refresh the page so that they can get the new version of the course viewer. But until then, I just kind of have to sit on my hands and know that these things will roll in for probably a couple of weeks because some people are tab monsters and keep those tabs open forever. So I went on Twitter. I was like, what do you do when you release a new version of this app and you want people to get that new code and stop running the old code? So I don't have anything for this. I thought I'd ask you, Scott, like, do you do anything for this before we go into the solution?
I do. In fact, let me tell you what I do for this. I use a platform that has it baked in, which is Meteor. Meteor, basically, when you do a new deploy, if you're using all of Meteor's own data stuff and you're using Meteor, it just pushes everything live. In fact, it's so interesting. If I were to make a code change, people in the past have been like using the site and they'll be like, hey, the background changed. It just pushes it. It
really?
Just pushes it via WebSockets.
Just like hot reloads it?
Hot reloads it.
It's amazing.
Right into the user's thing. And it's done it since day one. And people don't talk about it, but it's fantastic.
No kidding. That's amazing. Wow. So this is not a problem Scott has ever had.
Nope.
Because he's had this like next level thing for many years.
Although you could consider it to be a problem if the user's code is just changing in front of them. But if it's like minor things or whatever, just popping in here or there. I think that's fine. You probably wouldn't want some like substantial update to like come in and with that. You know, and also like if you have platforms like you think about like Notion. Notion is a platform that we use for note taking and planning it with like a database.
Yeah.
Like whenever they have a pop up to tell you to reload the app, it actually it gives them an opportunity to introduce new features, which I find to be really neat because they're always like, click to refresh, but also here's what's new. So that way you're actually inclined to refresh. Where for me, I don't know what the solution would that be for me, but that it wouldn't be something that would be super easy for me to accomplish.
Can we at least appreciate that releasing a new application on the web is refreshing and not downloading, updating, rebooting your computer. Yeah. Like, how good do we have it as developers that the problem we're facing right now is how do you get the user to refresh the page?
Right. I know. It's funny that we say that because it's like, what was it? We had like an issue with Safari not supporting something in Clamp or something. And like a Safari dev was like, update your computer. And like, so I have to reboot. Update my computer.
Yeah. So it's a good life. So what we're going to do now is just go through some of the solutions that I asked on Twitter. What are the solutions that you have? So the first solution, which I have taken, is do nothing and hope the user refreshes. Second one we have here, and this seems to be a lot of what people do, is they have a list of assets or like commit hashes. So every time that you build a version of your website, you'll often get like a hash. This is pretty popular in like a Webpack build or something like that. You can pull the server because you could have like an assets.json file and you could just pull the server periodically or have a WebSocket that would push, hey, new version available. And your code will know when there's a new version available. And you could do a couple things. Probably the easiest is just throw up a toaster. A toaster is like a bottom right hand corner, a little pop up that says new version available, refresh to update.
I think they're just called toast. Toast message?
Toast messages? Yeah, the toaster would be the thing that pushes the message up. The toast would be the actual message itself, right?
I have never heard of the word toaster being used in this. That sounds like pretty sweet, though, like pushes it up. I like that. If that is real, then
I always imagine that if I were to monkey with the CSS, there would be a toaster just below where those messages come up.
Out well, of. I guess you're right. I'm seeing the thing in Dojo. Remember Dojo? Dojo calls theirs a toaster. Okay.
So you could prompt the user to refresh. You could just manually refresh the user. So that's probably not the best idea, but you could, especially if you're using some sort of state management library, if the user is partway through some sort of action where they've typed some data into a box. Yeah, watching a video, you save all that state to local storage, refresh the page, and then try to apply that state back into your thing. So it'll just put them back to where they are. That would probably be a good idea where to count and wait for some period of inactivity. So like if the user hasn't done anything in 10 minutes, they're probably not on that tab. Or you could even listen for the focus state of the window, knowing that the user is no longer on that. And then once the focus state is lost, start a timer and wait for like a minute or something like that. And then go ahead and refresh the user.
I would say that's probably not a great solution for people who are on a video site or have a video site. Because if you're refreshing in the middle of a video, like that would make some people upset. I know I would be upset if I was watching a video and all of a sudden I stopped talking and it refreshed.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd probably have to make sure that
no media playing,
like in a playing state or something. But anyways, it's probably not a good idea because the next one, which a couple of people said, and this is genius, is so all of your links on your application, if you're using a React or Vue or Angular, your links are probably push state, meaning that you click on a link, it changes the URL bar and it loads in the new video or whatever, but you're not actually doing a full page reload. That's just happening in the browser. And a few people said code a custom link component that checks if there's an update. And if there is an update, just make it a regular link and just have the page do a full reload. And otherwise return the regular React router or Next.js link. And I thought that was genius because like what a way to update a website is just turn your links into regular links.
How do you pull that off though, technically?
Like you would make a new component that imports, like let's use React router, it imports link from React router. And then inside of that component, you could have something that periodically will pull the backend for a new version or maybe even just run a timer that says like, when has this application last been reloaded? If it's more than 24 hours or something like that, then you can dynamically either render out a React router link or render out just a anchor link. Mm. They render out to the same thing at the end of the day. Just one of them has push state and one of them doesn't. And because it's all dynamic, it'll just render. You can change out a React router link to a regular anchor link and the user will have no idea that happened because there will be nothing that visually changes.
Neat. That's pretty slick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that one was, there was somebody like that posted that. I haven't tried this, but this is what I'm thinking. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's genius. Like,
yeah.
Just
click
a
just
link.
Blew it open. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like the user will continue to interact with your application. And the next interaction they have that changes the URL, which is a lot of interactions, will load the new app for you.
Neat. Very neat.
Next one is just use a service worker. So service workers have this built in. The way that a service worker works is that you register your scripts.js. And then the next time somebody comes to that website, it'll say, oh, I have a cached version of scripts.js. So we'll load that scripts.js in. But part of what the service worker will do is while it loads up the cached version, it will also check in the background if there's a new version of that scripts.js available to you. And then there's an event that's fired when there's a new version of that scripts available to you. That's a perfect use case. You don't have to write any custom code because service workers already do the checking and alerting that it happens. And then you just have to do one of the things that we talked about earlier, swap out a regular anchor link, provide a toaster, do a hard refresh, whatever it is you choose to do for your app. Mm. What else? It's just hot reloading baked in. So I jokingly said, just run development in production and hot reloading will work. But I didn't even realize that Meteor has that already. And it looks like ViewPress also has that where it'll do a hot reload of your application right in front of the user. And that won't work for every use case, but I would wager to say that will work in a lot of cases.
Yeah. And the cool news about the Meteor version of it, if you're using Meteor's own pub sub system, is it sends data along the way. And that works like that. That's one of my favorite things about Meteor, since it's all data subscriptions. When you're pushing new code in and make changes to the database, man, you get basically that free user refresh with nothing, with absolutely no skill involved, really.
That's pretty sweet. And finally, someone said, I know it's not an app, but I like how Chrome handles it with an ever-present icon that gets more ominously colored the further you are behind.
So it does. Yeah, like it does. Yeah.
At a certain point, people will start ignoring them. I do that on OS X all the time. Pops up.
Mine's currently yellow.
To reboot. Yeah. It just turns a different color. At a certain point, the user will have to refresh the page to get the new version of your app.
Sick.
Yeah. That was cool. I'm happy I sort of dove down that hole because I learned a whole lot about how to do something like that. Hopefully you learned a thing or two as well. If you have your own thing that we didn't cover today, make sure you tweet us at SyntaxFM and we'll retweet your solutions as well. All right, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.